text for this morning, as this morning is a morning that we are setting aside in preparation for the event that we all will celebrate on Thursday, which is Thanksgiving Day, where I know many will be stuffing their faces with turkey and all the fixins. But I want us to take this morning to remember why we as believers can especially give thanks, of why we are called to give thanks to the Lord. And to do that, I want us to take a look at Psalm 118, all of the psalm. Now, there is much, again, in this psalm that we could cover this morning, but we would be here for hours. And I know many of us at some point will start to feel the churning in our stomach just getting hungry. But also, to just cover the big theme in this passage of give thanks to the Lord. And we do so not just this morning or on Thursday while we are watching either the parade or the Lions or the Cowboys, who domineer those days every year, even though some have the tendency to lose for the past 10 years. I'm not going to say which team, but both teams are known to lose. But we, especially as believers, have a reason to give thanks and to take Thursday as a day to intentionally remember why we give thanks, of what we have to give thanks for. And I want to call that into your mind this morning by reading Psalm 118, the entire psalm. The psalmist, under inspiration and guidance of the Spirit of God, records these words for us. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we first and foremost come into your presence with thanksgiving, as we are called to do, to praise your name, to to give you thanks for your grace and mercy in our life. Lord, I pray that this morning as we remember to give thanks to you, that we do so all of our days. That this morning just serves as a reminder that we are called to give you thanks in everything, in all ways. Not just one Sunday a year or 52 times a year or even one Thursday a year when we as Americans designate it as Thanksgiving Day. But that way we can take that day and say we do have much to be thankful for. And it's not because of our hand, but because of your righteous hand in our life. Lord, be with us as we seek to unpack this passage and diligently apply it to our lives and how we ought to give thanks to you. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We ask this in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen. I know there was a lot in that chapter that we just read from Psalm 118, but be thankful I didn't read all of Psalm 119 this morning. That would have been the sermon, and then we would have been out of here. But I do want to highlight several things from this text this morning of the command that is given in the opening verse of this text, the command to give thanks to the Lord. It is a command for a reason. It is not a suggestion for us, not something that say, you probably should do this, but a command. A command to give thanks, to remember God and his faithfulness, to remember God and his providential hand, to remember God and his sovereignty, that he is author and perfecter of our faith, that he is the giver and sustainer of life, that we give thanks to the Lord as a command because it's an imperative. It's a necessity. But we do so because of many things that the psalmist here lays forth to us. When the psalmist is facing great opposition, when the psalmist is facing great discipline from the Lord, of saying, though the Lord disciplined me, he has not taken me unto death. But even then, we are reminded, not just in throughout the Psalms, because you could go back through many of these Psalms. Psalm 118 is just one where we are reminded, give thanks to the Lord. There's a reason why the psalmist says, let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say the exact same thing. Let those who fear the Lord say the same thing, that the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. Why we give thanks? Because his love endures forever. And even more so, we see why we give thanks. For it is better to take refuge in the Lord than in man. To take refuge in the Lord rather than rulers. Rather than the powers that be. But we take refuge in the Lord because his love endures forever. And even the author of Hebrews reminds us of the necessity to give thanks. Of the command to give thanks. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 6, and then 15 and 16, we read these words. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Calling forth this very psalm. And then in 15 and 16, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. We give thanks to the Lord, for he is our helper. It is a call, a command, not a mere suggestion, but a command for us to give thanks, to remember God and his faithfulness, to remember God and his steadfast love, which we know because of the Spirit leading us to Christ. We give thanks to the Lord as a command because it then makes us realize it's a necessity for the Christian life. It's a necessity in our life to always give thanks to the Lord, that we cannot walk with the Lord without giving thanks to God, We cannot say we walk with the Lord. We cannot say that we are believers in Christ without giving thanks to God. That the first words out of our lips ought to be, praise be God, thanks be to God. That if we walk with the Lord, we should constantly be praising God for what he has done for us and continues to do for us. That God, in his steadfast love, redeemed us, made us heirs with Christ, and has then given us a mission and work to do for his glory. We read in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We give thanks because it's the will of God. It's the command of God that we do so. That when we walk with the Lord, we give thanks. We praise his name. And because of that, as I just said a moment ago, we cannot say that we are followers of Christ and not give thanks to the Lord. That we as followers, as we grow in our walks with the Lord, we are reminded more and more so of the necessity to give thanks to the Lord. That as we grow in the Lord, we become incapable of inaction, of idleness, by the Spirit working and moving in us. That when we are born to Christ, born in Christ to the newness of life, the Spirit indwells in us and then encourages us to go and do things that we normally would not do. All because we are meant to give thanks. That we see that it is a command to give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. The love that we know through Jesus Christ. And when we know the Lord, it becomes a reality that we are without excuse for not giving thanks to the Lord. There is no excuse that we could give of why we do not give thanks. Oh, well, I'm just too busy. Not an excuse. Oh, well, what do I really have to give thanks? You have breath in your lungs, do you not? There is still life in you, is there not? Though the world fails around you, you still have breath to praise the Lord. So you give thanks. As believers in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and being children of God, guided by the Spirit, we are not only commanded to give thanks, but we're often encouraged to. We're exhorted to give thanks. We're pleaded with by our brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone before us to give thanks, to praise the name of God. Time and again, we are encouraged, exhorted, and pleaded with to give thanks to the Lord, to praise his name. Why else would Paul be led by the Spirit? Why would Peter be led by the Spirit? Why would James be led by the Spirit? If not to remind us to give thanks to the Lord. To remind us of the good works that we are born to in Christ Jesus. Not to show what we have done, but to show what God has done in our lives through his Son, Jesus Christ. Made real to us by the Spirit moving in us. Time and again in Scripture, we are led to the reality we must give thanks. Not a suggestion, it's a command. And we give thanks, why? Because God is good. Almost every line of this psalm reminds us of the goodness of God. Reminds us that God's love endures forever. That he is our refuge, he is our help. That when we call out to him, our calls, our cries do not fall on deaf ears, but he hears us. And while we do not always see his help in the way we desire, his help is there. That even as we live, we recount the deeds of the Lord as called forth in verse 17. And though he has disciplined us severely, he has not done so to the point of death, but sustains our life to remind us of who he is. We give thanks to the Lord because God is good. And it's not a question if God is good. It's a very reality that God is good. That we read through the things in Psalm 119 and we can't help but say, God is good. That while we can know of God's goodness generally, just look around you at creation, It's just that in general. But to truly know the goodness of God means that we have been brought to the point of salvation by knowing his Son, Jesus Christ. Of knowing that the goodness of God is because his steadfast love endures forever. That even before the foundations of the world were laid, it was God's plan to offer up his one and only Son as the perfect and pleasing sacrifice. God did not create and then see Adam and Eve fall and say, well, I need to do something now. It was his plan all along that his Son would become the perfect and pleasing sacrifice to satisfy his wrath against sin, to make his goodness known. That for us to know that God is good, we must know him through his Son, Jesus Christ. And when we do know that, we realize that while we are commanded to give thanks, as we see in Psalm 118 and elsewhere throughout Scripture, that we truly cannot help but want to give thanks. That we truly cannot help the desire but to say, praise be to God, thanks be to God, give glory to God. And we're reminded of that very reality in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 15, verses 54 through 58. Paul writes these words to the early church. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. We give thanks because the victory is Christ's. Christ has taken away the sting of sin and death. And we only know that through the Spirit's leading of us to repentance, to the conviction of our sin and judgment and righteousness, knowing that those fail when we look at the righteousness of God, when we realize that God alone is the judge and that God alone is the author and sustainer of faith and life. And when we consider why we give thanks, it is not a question but why God is good. The reality is that he is because it's his nature. It's who he is. And it's just a mere aspect, mere characteristic of all that God is. But the question that remains is, have we come to know his goodness? To understand the depth of his goodness and that his steadfast love endures forever by knowing Jesus Christ, his Son, through the Spirit of God? Have we been led to that point? If we have, then we truly know firsthand just how good God is. We truly know firsthand that God's love endures forever. And we can say with the nation of Israel, with the house of Aaron, with all those who fear the Lord, his love endures forever. That he is on our side and there's nothing that man can do to me. There is no power of hell that can separate me from his hand. That he is our refuge. He is the ground on which we stand. He is the cornerstone. And as we live and breathe, we will recount all of his deeds, even the discipline that he imparts to us. That we know firsthand the love of God, that he has answered us in our distress. But we only do so because we know of his love through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. And when we know that, we are called to remember that when we give thanks to the Lord, we give thanks in all things, always. Not just when life is good or when life is hard, but in all circumstances of life, we give thanks. Even the psalmist here is saying, even while the nations surround me and have cut me off from those who would be my help, the Lord is my help. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord delivers me. The Lord has become my salvation. Even Christ reminds us that we ought to give thanks in all things, always. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and then 31 through 34, Christ tells these words to his disciples after he's heard them complaining about being tired, about being hungry, and wondering what they were going to have for dinner and where they were going to rest. Christ turns to them and says, therefore I tell you, in verse 25, do not be anxious about your life, of what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Jumping down to verses 31 through 34 of that passage. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Christ reminds us that we have much to be thankful about. We have much to focus on right here, right now. But even as we consider what we will eat or drink or wear, the Lord knows what our needs are and has provided them, will provide them. May not be in the way that we desire or want, but he will provide. He will sustain us. He will deliver us. He will guide us and direct us as long as we are walking with him through his Son, Jesus Christ, and allowing the Spirit to move in the way the Spirit needs to move, desires to move, is obligated to move. And it's not just Christ that reminds us of that, but even if we turn back to the Old Testament in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we could read that entire chapter and see of the reminder to give thanks to the Lord. But to give you just a glimpse at some chunks of that chapter, I encourage you to go back to 1 Chronicles 16 and read that chapter and see how it connects to the call here in Psalm 118 to give thanks to the Lord because of his love endures forever. The Lord is good. But we read in 1 Chronicles 16, beginning in verse 8 through 13. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Israel, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. We are reminded of why we give thanks to the Lord throughout those few verses of 1 Chronicles 16. Of what we have to be thankful for. Of what we do when we give thanks. That we tell of his wondrous works. Of his most wonderful work. The giving of his Son, Jesus Christ, as the perfect and pleasing sacrifice to satisfy what the law required, though the law could not do, but pointed us to that Jesus would be that sacrifice. We could also jump down to verses 23 through 34 of 1 Chronicles 16, where we read these words. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and is greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Meaning, give thanks to God. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nation, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for the joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. We give thanks not because it's a command, though that is still a reality. We give thanks because we are inclined to do so, that when we as believers in Jesus Christ, who have been born by the blood of the Lamb, to walk in the newness of life, and are directed by the Spirit of God, we give thanks because we can't help it. That when we consider where our eternal state was before Christ, and now where our eternal state is because of Christ and faithfully following him, we can't help but give thanks. We can't help but glorify the name of God and sing his praises. It's why we gather week in and week out on Sundays. Why we gather as the people of God to give thanks to the Lord through song and through praising his name and then through the reading of his word. We give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. His steadfast love, his unmovable, unshakable, unchangeable love, which he so perfectly displayed through the cross of Calvary, but was initiated by what hangs just below the cross behind me, through Christ being found in the form of man as a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That this morning is a great, great segue into what we will observe briefly tonight in the hanging of the green, of the lighting of the tree, and the symbolism behind why we decorate, but also in the coming weeks of Advent, of looking at the very reality that Christ's first coming, though in the form of a babe, inaugurated what he would do. That Christ just wasn't found as man, not just to live among us for a time and then vanish, but to live as we do, to be tempted and tried as we do, that we have a great high priest who has faced every trial we faced, every temptation we faced, and yet did not sin. Why? Because he was God. He is God. He is Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh. And he became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That when we think about the Christmas season and celebrating the birth of Christ, we really can't help but think about what it meant that some 33 years later, after Christ's entrance into the world as a helpless child, he would go to the cross of Calvary in a sinner's place. And that right there is why we give thanks. Of why when the psalmist here says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The psalmist longed to know the steadfast love that we do through the cross of Christ, through the blood of Christ that was shed on our behalf to make us righteous, not according to our own righteousness, but according to God's. We give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And while it's a command, we cannot help but want to give thanks as we remember the cross of Calvary, as we look to this Advent season that really starts tonight, but we ought to remember all the year long that Christ did not come to just live among us to see how we live. Christ came to bear our sins. That was foretold to his earthly father, Joseph, not to fear the wondrous thing that had taken place in his wife, Mary, but to know that it was because of God that he would be called Jesus, because he comes to bear the sins of his people, to take away his sins. And we'll get to see that in the coming weeks of what that meant, what that statement meant to Joseph, a good Hebrew who knew the law, but to hear the words that his son would take away the sins of his people. We give thanks now and every day that we live on this earth because of what Christ has done for us, according to the will of the Father, made known to us by the Spirit. And right in the middle there, I asked, it's not a question of if God is good, it's a question of, do we know His goodness? Have we felt the Spirit's conviction in our life to lead us to the point of repentance and salvation in Christ Jesus? Many of us, we are nodding our head yes, but there are some of us who have not yet surrendered completely to the Lord, who have not felt the weight of our sin on us in our eternal state. But the moment we do, we realize that we are helpless and in need of a Savior, and the only place to turn is to God through Christ Jesus. I invite you in this time, whether a believer or not, that you respond, that you call upon the name of the Lord and you give Him thanks. As a believer, saying, thank you, Lord, for what you have done. And as someone who is coming to that realization for the first time, you can say the exact same thing. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a Savior, for pulling me out of the miry clay and setting my feet upon the rock of salvation, Jesus Christ. I invite you in this time to respond. As you do, know that two of our deacons will be up here to pray with you. I will be up here to pray with you. If you've made a decision to follow the Lord, or to say simply, I have not yet been walking with Him faithfully, and I want to do so today, let us know that. If you're like our sister Peggy, who said, I want to make my profession of faith publicly known to the people of God through baptism. If you have not gone through baptism yet, talk with us. We'd love to have that conversation with you and plan a baptism in the coming weeks for you. You respond in this time. Always time to call upon one of the deacons or myself to say, hey, I need to have a conversation with you. But don't hesitate. That's what we're here for. That's what we enjoy doing. I'd much rather have conversations with you throughout the week than sit in my office. To grab a Coke or a coffee with you than to sit in my office. But reach out to us. You must just say, hey, I want to share with you a bit of what the Lord's doing in my life, to where we can then give thanks with you, for the Lord is good. Remember this week as we approach Thanksgiving Day that it's not just about the turkey, not about the Thanksgiving Day parade that takes place in New York or the teams that domineer that day for football that tend to lose. The day is about rejoicing in what the Lord has done, about giving Him thanks, about intentionally remembering that day, and then hopefully moving forward day after day to remember to give thanks to the Lord always in everything, for He is good and His love endures forever. And we know that to be true because of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and and the Spirit working in us and through us. Give thanks, and I will turn it over.